Hello, my name is Reverend Seth Nelson, and I am the pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Ronan, Montana. Join in weekly to hear the good news of God's love proclaimed over your life. You can follow us on Podbean and iTunes. God bless you this day. The lesson we will be focusing on this week is our first lesson, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, the apostles were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea, and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Here ends our reading.
Well, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As I shared with, or I think I said this to Jen yesterday, I think these next few months going forward for us, particularly in Montana, will be kind of a new test of how we deal with this. For some other states, it's summer and everybody's leaving, but for us, as we know, we get quite the crowd and population boom over the summer, so we'll see how this plays out going forward. For the time being, I know it's uncomfortable, and I'm kind of getting sick of it already, but the masking is very important, not so much for your own protection, but for the protection of the person next to you as we sit through our service for extended periods. So, well, grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There they all were, gathered in a house, and the Holy Spirit swept through the room and made them all start speaking a bunch of gibberish. Then, as it turned out, these words that likely seemed nonsensical to everyone in the room were actually the gospel of Jesus Christ being proclaimed in the languages of all sorts of peoples and nations from around the Mediterranean. The Jews and Jewish converts who were in Jerusalem at the time could hear the good news proclaimed from these Christ followers who had just experienced the Holy Spirit rushing in and miraculously taking hold of those apostles' tongues for God's divine purposes. It must have been quite the strange event to behold, but the world was changed for the better through it. Up to that point, for centuries, actually, God had been establishing and reestablishing the Temple Mount and Jerusalem is God's divine dwelling place on earth. The land of ancient Israel was promised to Abraham and his descendants, but it took centuries for them to occupy it, since they had to suffer through 400 years of slavery in Egypt and 40 years of desert wandering after that, before they could finally enter the land promised to their ancestor. They settled it and haphazardly ruled over it for a while in the time of Judges. And then they elevated kings and kingdoms to rule over them. Things went well for a while, but then began to crumble, in no small part due to the corruption, greed, idolatry, and narcissism of their leaders. And they were hauled off into exile for a time. But God eventually led some of the Judeans back to Jerusalem, where they jockeyed for control and influence between the empires of Persia, Greece, and eventually Rome. They fought all the while to secure the temple and the Temple Mount, Zion in Jerusalem, as the one and only place on earth where the one true God was pleased to dwell. But then, on that very first Pentecost, 50 days after the very first Easter, the Holy Spirit swept through their dwelling and turned all of their work to center their worship in Jerusalem on its head. No longer were they to focus on the physical building that would soon be destroyed by their oppressors. No longer were they to say that the only true worship happened only in that one city. No longer were they to remain hidden away, avoiding other nations as best they could. Instead, the apostles received the Holy Spirit, which sent them out to proclaim the good news of Christ to all people from all nations, not just to those who shared their Jewish ancestry. The gospel was intended to be preached in Hebrew and Greek, yes, but also in the language of the Midianites, the Arabs, the Parthians, the Phrygians, the Egyptians, and even the Romans. That day they were shown that the good news of Jesus Christ was to be shared in all directions, with all peoples, no matter what language they spoke, what color their skin, or what country they called home. God came to save everyone. And on that first Pentecost day, they were shown that the message of our salvation is meant to be shared in everyone's native tongue. And yet, all of this world-altering, spiritually amazing, wonderfully miraculous stuff happened when they were simply sitting at home. Our lesson from Acts says that the apostles were just gathered together, sitting in a house in one place. For those of us who have been homebound for much more than normal recently, we have been worshiping from home, teaching from home, having business meetings at home, and so on and so forth. The experience of the miracle at Pentecost happening while the apostles were just sitting around in a house may still seem a little strange. What groundbreaking stuff happens when you're just sitting around? You kidding me, Holy Spirit? The real work is out there in the world somewhere. So let's get out and do it, right? Well, sure enough, the apostles would get busy in spreading the good news of Jesus Christ far and wide. Not only did they travel around the Mediterranean in their missionary work, but there are ancient archaeological records of Christian missionaries traveling south into Africa and east even over into India and even China within just a generation or two of Jesus' death and resurrection. We don't always remember their missionary work as much as well as missionaries to Europe, but indeed the apostles went in all directions in that first generation. They got after spreading the good news in grand and widespread ways. But it all started when they were just sitting around in a house together, and the Holy Spirit showed up in unexpectedly big ways. Now, by this point, I'm sure you know where I'm going with all of this in this sermon. Congregations like ours all across the country and across the world, pastors and other religious leaders normally work tirelessly to appeal to the masses and draw people into church. I'm sure you all have thought me quite desperate at times, right? It's okay, you can tell me. We want our sanctuaries to be the center of our worship, havens for our spirituality, and physical homes for our prayers to God. We do what we can to reach out, to connect, and to draw people into the places where our faith is housed, quite physically and literally. Like the temple in Jerusalem, our church buildings ground our Christian ministry and witness, and form a centralized place where we can all gather regularly to encounter the risen Lord through worship, fellowship, and prayer in one place together. Then, this pestilence descended upon the world, and we have been relegated to our homes like the disciples on that first Pentecost. And thank you guys for braving the disease once again this Sunday to be here in person. Thankfully, gratefully, the Holy Spirit has still showed up and blown through our houses in amazing and unexpected ways. I'm not sure if anyone in our congregation has used this moment to pick up Rosetta Stone and learn Spanish or Japanese or any other language. But even if we haven't learned new tongues, God has not been absent. God has been moving among us to keep us going, inspiring us to not lose heart, and encouraging us to see better days ahead. Our worship has been dispersed and spread out among our homes across this valley and across the world. And God in the Holy Spirit has shown up among us too. Admittedly, pastors like me are a little unsettled, actually, at how easy it has been for people to worship from their couch and in their pajamas with their coffee, hopefully not something stronger. But I say to you here today, let us pastors be uncomfortable. It was good for the temple priests to feel threatened by the Spirit of God moving among the nations. Though this meant that Jerusalem would soon not be as important as it once was, since people would no longer have to travel there to encounter God's presence, it also meant that the people's encounters with our living God were more meaningful and widespread. I rejoice to think about all the unseen ways that God has been moving among our households during this time, and all of the ways that God will guide us forth from here. Brothers and sisters in the faith, let us remember that first Pentecost in new ways this year. May we appreciate how God's presence swept through that room and headed out to be shared around the world. May we rejoice that the gospel was translated into the language of our ancestors so that the gospel could freely and powerfully encircle the globe. And may we always cherish the fact that whether we worship in our church home, in our family home, or anywhere else in the world, the Spirit of God will meet us there and lead us forward in faith. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
I hope that you have enjoyed this week's sermon podcast. If you would like to hear more, read my blog, or get a copy of my book called The Church Unknown, go to www.revsethnelson.com. If you feel called to support our ministry, I invite you to go to our church's website at flcronan.org and click on the Offerings tab. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.